fighting for America.
He's a murderer! A cold-blooded murderer! We didn't save the Cardinals! A cold-blooded murder! That's it! Homicide! It's a homicide!
Fighting for Idaho.
The notion that white cops are out there just killing black people, that's ridiculous. And I hate that narrative coming out of that, out of this entire situation. You know, they're the only thing in the ghetto between this place being the Wild Wild West.
Fighting for you.
I don't know if we like facts. That's going to probably deflate the story, but please go ahead.
I understand.
Boise's Mr. Right.
We thank you for listening and for calling in.
You're welcome.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Us now, the leading authority on buying and selling businesses. We're going to look at a business perspective of Ferguson, Michelle Seiler Tucker, author of Sell Your Business for More Than It's Worth. Michelle, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing well, and it's interesting. No one has really taken a look at the economic impact of not only Ferguson, but we learn now at the top of the hour here at 580 KIDO from Fox News that people are urging people to walk out of work and school today.
Yeah, it's just gotten out of hand, and it's uncontrollable at this point, and there's so many business owners that are suffering and so much money that has been lost, not only in Ferguson, but all around the United States.
Well, I love the idea where they say just walk out of work, and whether you're a big corporation or a small business, I don't think that's going to make the Ferguson situation any better.
Is anything that they're doing going to make the Ferguson situation any better?
Well, but that's the thing. But it does have such a bad impact on the backbone of this country, which is small businesses.
It really does. And, you know, they say that they're standing up for equal rights, and what they're really doing is destroying a community, and they're destroying their own people. They're destroying their own people. They're destroying their own people's businesses. I mean, these people have a dream, just like Martin Luther King did, and they're burning down their businesses. They're burning their cars. They're destroying their companies. They're looting. I mean, how does that make this situation right?
Well, you're right about that. But and before we get back to Ferguson, if you don't mind, Michelle, what's the state of small business in America today when you have the looming requirements of Obamacare, when you have the regulation, whether it's at the state level or the national level, that seems to strangle small business?
Well, you're absolutely right, Kevin, and small businesses are the backbone of our society. I mean, there's over 27 million businesses in the United States, and 95%+ of them are small business owners, and they're struggling right now. A lot of them are struggling because of Obamacare. Some are struggling in some areas because of the minimum wage has been raised. Some are struggling because of the new franchise laws that McDonald's just faced. And now, you know, they're struggling because of this issue with Ferguson. So, you know, how much more can a small business owner take? That's what one has to ask. And, you know, to be a small business owner these days, you got to be a strong person.
Well, if
you be able to weather all the storms.
Well, Michelle, if you could, tell us a little bit about this franchise thing that McDonald's just faced, because I may have heard about it, but a lot of folks here at 580KIDO probably haven't. So it's an additional tax or additional.
Well, the issue is, this was probably about 4 or 5 months ago, so I don't remember everything regarding it. But there was an issue with McDonald's having too much control over the franchisee's employees, and the FTC came in, Federal Trade Commission came in, and some other organizations, and said that a franchisor cannot maintain that much control over a franchisee's employees. And, you know, there's pros and cons to that. The negative side of that is now you're going to lose quality control. You're going to lose people following a systematic approach. I mean, one thing about McDonald's is you go to McDonald's here in New Orleans, Louisiana, and or Boise, Idaho, where you're located, and or China,
right.
And you pretty much get the same experience. You know, because they have a systematic cookie-cutter formula that everybody follows. Well, now if they can't maintain the control to make sure the systems and protocols are followed, then you're going to have a decline in quality, decline in service, and probably decline in revenues.
Well, you bring up where you're from. Now, are you on the Best Bank or are you on the East Side?
I'm glad you said Best Bank because that is where I am.
Well, I used to live over in Old Algiers on De Gaulle there, and I know a little bit about New Orleans and its rich tradition. I went to O. Perry Walker for a few years. But let me ask you, because you
I'm
have
in
a
English turn, so you know where that is, right?
Yes, yeah. you have a unique point of view or observation on race because of the just so many folks in New Orleans, and you see what's going on in Ferguson. As someone who lives with folks of other races there in New Orleans, if you will, Michelle, tell us your thoughts on what we're seeing from the media and your reality in New Orleans.
Well, you know, my heart goes out to the Brown family. You know, most people don't know what it's like to lose a child, and it's extremely disheartening. And my heart goes out to them, and they're in my prayers. But you don't fight violence with violence. You know, there were 60 testimonials that were heard out loud that did not, that did not indict Officer Wilson. And you have to trust the judicial system, and you have to trust the witnesses and their testimonials. And you can't fight violence with violence. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you need to raise your voice, not raise your hand or not raise your fist. And that's what they're doing, and it makes absolutely no sense. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, we kind of went through that a little bit here in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, with burning down the malls and burning down the buildings and looting all the stores and looting homes, et cetera. And the majority of that was from the African-American population. So we really haven't had any of the rioting here in New Orleans in regards to Ferguson, but we've had our fair share of rioting in other cases, especially after Hurricane Katrina. Not rioting, just looting and, you know, destruction of property.
Well, you bring up a great point in your blog at MichelleTuckerInternational.com. What would happen if Darren Wilson was black and the 18-year-old was white? Would there be riots and outrage by a siege on enraged white people? Think back to the O.J. Simpson trial. These are points that a lot of us here at 580KIDO, Michelle, have said. What's your take on this? Well, let me ask you the question that you ask in your blog.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever, when's the last time you heard of white people rioting and white people looting businesses? Can you name a time?
No.
Can you name an incident?
Mm-mm.
And when Nicole Simpson killed, we all know, I mean, I'm sorry, O.J. Simpson killed Nicole Simpson, and we all know he did it. I think he's almost as much as admitted it in his book, but he can't be charged for double jeopardy. And did you see us rioting? But what if the roles were reversed? What if they killed him? They would be rioting, right?
Right.
So it's just, I mean, it makes no sense. It's almost like it gives them a license to go out there and steal. It gives them a license to go and demonstrate bad behavior. It gives them a license to go destroy other people's property and other people's businesses. You know, I don't think they're really fighting because they really feel for Michael Brown and Michael Brown's family what happened. They're just doing it because that's what they want to do. I mean, it's animal behavior is what it is.
Hey, let me hit you with this. Let's get back to businesses, if we could, here at 580KIDO. When is it time for someone to hang it up in businesses? You're the expert on when to buy, when to sell.
Yeah, the best time to sell your business is when your business is doing well. Unfortunately, most business owners do not plan their exit strategy, and they don't build their business to sell. So most business owners sell when they have to due to a catastrophic event occurring, death, partner disputes, divorce, etc. And typically when a catastrophic event occurs, your business is trending downward. So, Kevin, the best time to sell is when your business is doing well. And everybody should plan their exit strategy. Everybody should have an end game in mind. They should have a desired sales price that they want to sell their business for. And then they should know who their target buyer is going to be. And they should build their business in order to sell it for that desired price tag and to their desired buyers.
Well, that's
and nobody does that.
Yeah, everybody wants to keep the money tree. Why do you think that some generational businesses fail, like it, whether it's the second or third generation businesses don't do as well as the first generation?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. Number one, the second, third, fourth generation might not have the same work ethic that the first generation did. We see it today in the younger generation. They don't have the same work ethic as the older business owners, the baby boomers have. That's number one. Number two, You have to innovate. And, you know, the second and third and fourth generation has to come up with new ideas, has to come up with new products and products and processes to streamline the process. Things go out. I mean, industries, you know, there's industries that are dying and there's industries that are thriving. So the new blood has to come in there and evaluate products, people, processes, and see what needs to be, what needs to have a facelift. And maybe you have to add some additional revenue streams. Maybe you have to add some more products. Maybe you have to streamline your process. Maybe you have to hire some fresh blood to bring the company up to this century.
If you were starting a business today, what would it be?
I wouldn't start a business.
Okay.
And the reason for that is like I said earlier, there's over 27.9 million businesses in the United States. 25% of them will be up for sale at any given time. You have millions of baby boomers planning their exit strategy. You have so many good businesses with proven track record, proven history, positive cash flow, employees in place, customer base, you know, you name it. It's a much safer bet to buy an existing business with cash flow than starting a business. Starting a business, you have about an 85 to 95% failure rate, 85 to 95% failure rate. And most startups will operate in the red for the first 5 years. So it's extremely risky. It's financial suicide in most cases. And unless you have a unique idea that nobody else is doing, I don't recommend it. We don't need another coffee shop. We don't need another pizzeria. We don't need another cafe on the corner.
Michelle Seiler Tucker with us. Sell your business for more than it's worth. Let me hit you with this one, though. So let's say, you know, I'm a big money radio guy, and you know that you talk to these guys all the time. I want to expand my thing, and I'm going to go buy a coffee shop, Kevin Miller's Coffee. I'm not going to create it. I'm going to do what you have suggested and buy an existing business. What are some of the signs that if you're looking for a business or to invest that that are good signs, and what are warning signs?
I'm glad you brought that up, Kevin, because that's all going to be in my next book called Quit Your Job, Buy a Business.
I like that. That's a great title.
And the main thing you have to look at, Kevin, is if you're planning on staying in radio, you're not going to go in there and run that coffee shop, right?
Right.
So you better make sure there's a manager and employees that you can trust. And that's the biggest issue, is that people who keep their jobs try to buy a business on the side. And the issue with these small businesses is it's really not owner's hands-off. It's owner-operated. And if you're going to stay in radio or anyone's going to keep their job, you need to buy a business that can operate without you. And that's typically not a coffee shop or a cafe or a yoga place or ice cream store, because these employees come and go. There's very little stability. And it's hard to oversee these businesses and keep your day job. So I will look for a business that is self-sufficient, that has employee tenure, and that can run pretty much without you being there on a day-to-day basis. Some of the signs that you need to look for is, first and foremost, financials. You got to make sure you get 3 to 5 years of tax returns, profit and loss statements, current balance sheet. You need to see the accounts receivables report going back a couple of years. You need to see the accounts payable. You need to make sure that the business is clear and free of any debt, tax issues, outstanding liabilities, lawsuits, et cetera. You also need to make sure you protect yourself, and you want to make sure that all the intellectual property is included, such as name of the business. When a seller's not going to include the name of the business, Kevin, it typically means they're going to go down the street and compete against you. So you want to make sure you get the name, phone numbers, faxes, websites, email addresses, any intellectual property, trademarks, patents, trade secrets, trade recipes associated with that business. You also should never buy a business without the owner giving you a non-compete. You need a non-compete. In Louisiana, it's 2 years. You have to check with your state to see what's legal in your state as far as non-competes go and what will hold up. And then you want to make sure that the owner is going to provide training as well. If they're not going to provide training, don't buy the business. You also want to make sure that all the assets or all the furniture, fixtures, equipment is in working condition.
Right.
And you want to make sure, you know, the business is making a profit. Unless you want to be a turnaround specialist and go in there and fix that business, you need to make sure the business is generating a profit. And most businesses do not show a healthy profit on their tax return, Kevin.
Right.
Because most business owners, small business owners, live out of their business, meaning that they run all their personal expenses through their business. So you really need a professional to sort out their books and records to make sure that you're buying a business with a positive cash flow. And the other thing is that, like I said, make sure you get the non-compete and the training in place. Oh, and another thing, to make sure the seller is somewhat involved, is ask for some seller financing.
That would be good. Michelle, we appreciate it. MichelleTuckerInternational.com. We'd love to have you back sometime.
Well, I would love to come back, and everybody can go to betterbusinessbrokers.com to pick up Sell Your Business for more than it's worth.
All right. Whether you have a business or want to buy one, you take care, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye. There you have it. You know, going to Ferguson and everything else, talking about the economy. And whether you're, you know, work for a major corporation or not, everybody's a free agent these days. I'll explain that next. Time for traffic, Kevin.
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Losing up all night.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Joining us now, Senator Mike Crapo from Washington, D.C. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
Not bad. So the end of the year, are you guys doing anything up there in Congress?
Well, you know, there's all kinds of skullduggery trying to happen, and I think that it's probably going to get pretty limited. We do have to finalize the budget, and we are going to respond to the president's executive order on immigration. And there probably we do need to do the defense authorization legislation to keep our national defense system operational. But other than that, I think most everything is going to be held off till we get into the next Congress.
Well, we have this immigration situation that a lot of us are concerned about. Now, Idaho joining the state lawsuit, what is your thoughts on the president trying to make it up as he goes?
Well, I believe that his executive order was beyond the bounds of law. He's trying to argue that he is just using discretion, as other presidents have used, in how to prioritize enforcement of different provisions of the law. But he's gone far beyond that, and he has now basically authorized amnesty for millions of Americans who millions of people who entered America illegally, who will now be able to get either a driver's license or a social security number or both, and move into our system. And it totally undercuts our ability to put together a proper immigration system. I believe we need to do everything we can in Congress to stop it. And as you know, the power of the purse is probably one of the most significant tools we have, and I believe that we should use that and any other tools that we have.
Well, how do you expect this to play out, and will the president get his way, sir?
Well, in the short term, meaning in this lame duck session, remember and understand that his party controls the Senate. And so it's going to be difficult to have some kind of a legislative tool until the new Congress takes place. Although in this Congress, I believe we can have votes, we should push votes forward, and we should also allow the budget situation that we agree to in terms of setting up next year's budget process to be one in which we create points at which we can use our power of the budget to react to the president. And I believe that we will do that. That's part of what's being fought through right now. Now, then the question becomes, some are saying we can't defund what the president has done, and because the monies for the enforcement of our immigration system come through other processes for fees and things like that. But Congress still does have the appropriations authority to control how that money is used, and I believe that we will be able to get a vote in both the House and the Senate to do so. Then the question comes down to whether we can get past a presidential veto. And I'm not sure on that, Kevin. I think this is an issue that's big enough across America that we may be able to, but that's one that where it'll come down to, in my opinion.
Senator, we're always talking about money. Are we going to run out of money considering Obamacare kicks in this year for most of us?
Well, as you know, I have been talking about our national debt for a long time, and Obamacare is going to slam Americans. I just wish people had been willing to focus on this back when we were debating it. Our national debt is now over $18 trillion. We aren't doing anything to slow down the spending, although I believe the next Congress is going to do so. But we still have a president whom we've got to get legislation passed. And ultimately, I think, unfortunately, that Americans next year are going to see greater fiscal problems, not just at the federal level, but financial problems in their own budgets. And it's going to be very difficult for them, as I see it. I'm sorry to bring that bad news, but you know, you cannot just continue to mount debt and to grow our debt with borrowed money at the federal level and not expect that to have an impact on the economy at some point.
Including, you know, some good news, the gas prices are going down, but, you know, that can't overcompensate for just these regulations. Now, the Supreme Court taking a look at Obamacare again, Senator Crapo, your thoughts on, let's say they reverse their decision, how deep into the weeds are we in the system? Would it just make a bad situation worse?
No, we could back out of Obamacare. I mean, the bottom line is the law is so faulty that it will never reach a point where it starts getting better. We are going to have to back out, and if the Supreme Court will allow us to back out of, for example, the individual mandate or some of the other key pieces, even before we legislatively seek to achieve that, then that would just give us a head start on starting to dismantle the damage that this law is now increasingly pushing out onto the American people. And so anyway, the short answer to your question is we are not so far into Obamacare that we cannot unravel it and move back to a much more rational health care system.
Our great friend Senator Mike Crapo joins us here. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Senator, we get ready for the Christmas holidays, a little break from politics. Of course, you're always working, especially when you're back here in the state. Your thoughts on a special time of year?
Well, this is a special time of year, and in fact, I'm going to go tape a message to all of Idahoans later today, and just to talk about the fact that notwithstanding the challenges we face, and we do face a number of challenges, we are still the greatest nation on earth, and we have tremendous liberty and freedom in this country that is not shared by so many peoples across this globe. And we have such rich abundance in this nation that even though we are having very difficult times right now politically dealing with it, we've just been so richly blessed. And I think this is a time for us to recognize the blessings we have and thank God for them. And I think in that process, we also need to give a very, very special part of our thanks to the men and women of the armed services and their families who are putting their lives on the line for us and for our freedoms, and who won't necessarily be home. Many of them won't necessarily be home for the holidays, and we want to send them our very best.
Boy, you talk about a noble profession, and we certainly can't forget them. Senator, we appreciate it. Maybe we'll see you around during the recess.
I hope we can do that.
All right.
Have a good day.
You take care, sir.
You bet.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with Dave Burnett at 580 KIDO. Big game coming up this weekend, the Mountain West Championship game in Boise.
I thought you were going to say the SEC championship. I thought that was going to be your thought. You're not going to that one first?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Because it's on CBS right before the Mountain West Championship. So you're going to be plopped down there watching the SEC and then watching the Mountain West? Is that your plan?
I suppose. I don't know. I'm really kind of down on football this year.
Are you? Just kind of burned on it a little bit? All right. Let me ask you, are you burned out on it or oversaturated with it or disgusted with it?
I just don't seem to be enjoying it as much as usual, and I think a lot of it has to do with the SEC network. Mm-hmm. Too much SEC. I love my friend Paul Feinbaum who works there, but I think we've reached a point where it's just too much college football.
There's a lot of it. There is a lot of it out there. I was trying to get a current ticket count. I know for Boise State, I know as of yesterday, they were at like 23,000, somewhere around there, which is a far cry from filling the place, which you would think, you know, you get the Mountain West Championship ready to go, you would think the place would be full. But again, we're looking at an 8:30 kickoff, and, you know, it's a Saturday night, 8:30, on network TV, gosh, you know. I believe for myself, I think I'm going to stay home, watch it on TV.
Well, not only that, but I sit back and I think about this here at 580KIDO and learning how the media has kind of turned on folks, turned on the Broncos, if you will. You have a lot of people attacking the fans and saying this team has performed. And I just don't think it's the same as when you had the Broncos and TCU and Utah and Hawaii and all those BCS busters. And it's a different era when you can be 20 or 23 in the country and go to the Fiesta Bowl or the Orange Bowl or the Gator Bowl or the Cotton Bowl.
Well, I think for the fans, and I'll defend them in this sense, in that Boise State did not start in the top 25 and very blessed over the past whatever years or were that, you know, that they were top 25. And in some places, some years, a top 10 team. In the media. And then, you know, when you're that way, you get a lot more love from the networks, whether it's, you know, Fox Sports or whether it's ESPN or whoever it is. You get a lot, you know, your name's mentioned more when you're in top 10. This year, they didn't even crack in the top 25 until the last 2 weeks of the season. So I almost think that a bowl bid, a Fiesta Bowl bid, jumped a lot of the fans by surprise. I really do.
Yeah, but on the other hand, they've been on national TV every week.
But, you know, again, you get to where you expect that. And to say national TV, when you're on ESPN College or ESPN.
Oh, ESPN too.
ESPN, you're on the Deuce, you're on ESPN, whatever.
But you're not ranked, so you don't get those things.
Yeah.
You got to earn it.
So you're not on ESPN, you're not on the big one, and you don't have Lou and Mark Mays, you know, arguing with each other about, does Boise State belong? No, they hate. Yo, they need to be, you know, and everybody gets all excited and they hate Mark Mays. It's, okay, that's all a show. That's all a ploy. As soon as you're not, you know, in contention, they drop you like a hot potato.
Well, again, I think people are turning on the fans and saying this is embarrassing and all these things. And quite frankly, if you don't have the product that people don't want to see, and the Broncos have made a business decision. It's paid off for them. They've mm-hmm. made, what, $1, $2 million this year with their sweetheart deal with the Mountain West Conference and ESPN.
I think they've made more than that.
Okay, then $3 million. Yeah. I mean, they've made a lot of money, and, you know, I just hope that we don't hear Bronco Nation this, Bronco Nation that, because in the end, the Bronco Nation is Coach Harsin and the team that they get paid to perform. And, look, if you want to stay home, I think that's great. This is a team that has defied the odds, and now you have the law of gravity hitting them.
Yeah, you know, you defy the odds, and honestly, Coach Harsin has put a very good product on the field. They're very entertaining to watch. You know, in person, they're very entertaining to watch.
Right.
In that, you know, in the past, you know, six games or so, they're racking up 50 points a game. They're putting the yardage out there. You got arguably one of the better backs in the nation that's running for you. Will he be back next year? Don't know. And if you have not seen him run in person, there's a difference in watching some of these guys in person and on TV. There's a big difference. You watch in person, it looks very different than it does on TV. And Jay Ajayi is one of those players that's worth watching in person. So, you know, and in part, is it the fans are spoiled? I don't know that it is. And having tried to go out there and go to those games that start at 8:30 at night, it's rough. It is difficult to do, and I'll defend the fan in that sense. Difficult to do, but university financially is doing what they need to do to survive and keep feeding the program. So it's tough.
Well, it is, but I like people that say, you know, that you know, well, I think it comes down to, you know, how big of a college football town are we?
I have always contended that we're really not that big of a football town. I've always felt that way, that, you know, if this team were to go 3-8, how would it go then? I mean, even after losing to Air Force, you know, you lose to Ole Miss, you expect that. Then you lose to Air Force, and then all of a sudden, man, it was like, hey, tickets are available to everyone. And even getting in winning, you know, if they were to go 3-8, how would it go? I don't know. I don't think it would fare that well. So it's not one of those things that, by golly, we're going to the game no matter what because we're diehard supporters. I remember growing up, my best friend, his dad, was a diehard Oregon State Beaver fan, and that was back in the DeAndros and post-DeAndros days when they were awful, and he went every week. He knew they were going to get beat like a drum, but he went every week, by golly. And I remember going to those Oregon State games with his son, and we'd sit out there in black garbage bags watching in the pouring rain and would be there just because it was what you do. You go and support. And I don't know that there's quite that mentality here. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Wow.
But again, that was back in the day when college football was at 1 in the afternoon on Saturday, period. High school football was on Friday night and the pros were on Sunday.
Well, getting back to my point, though, I think we all have jumped the shark.
Yeah, we're oversaturated. There was pro games on last night. You had Dallas beating the Chicago last night. There were college games on last night. Probably in parts of the country, there were high school games still going last night.
Right.
So, yeah, we've kind of oversaturated.
So, you know, again, I don't know how many times you can see folks getting excited about it. Now, the Pac-12 championship tonight. Mm-hmm. Oregon versus Arizona. I'll be a little busy for that, but I'm going to try and tape that.
On Friday night.
Whatever happened to you know, the idea that you have defense in the Pac-12, number one and number two. I had two thoughts at once here. I mean, it's like 20, 30,000 seats not going to be there for the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so you can point to the Boise State fans and go, shame on you. But here you go, for the Pac-12 or 16 or 10 or whatever they are now. It's the same thing. And I will guarantee you on the SEC championship, you'll see empty seats.
No, not in Atlanta.
You don't think so?
No, not in Atlanta. Atlanta will be the only place that is sold out just because you have the Crimson Tide. I would say if it were Missouri and anybody else, yeah, but Bama will, they'll fill that 83,000 seat stadium.
Okay, we'll find out.
I'm Googling
to see if I can buy tickets right now.
Yeah. You watch the CBS telecast, it'll be a sellout.
Okay. Oh, I will. That is a game I will be watching. I will have my derriere firmly planted watching that and then watching
that.
Good
to know at 5:49 in the morning where your derriere is going to be.
Yeah, it'll be there and watching that. So,
So at 580 KIDO, you go back to this. Maybe football in the West isn't so big anymore. I mean, you have the Pac-12 championship that won't be sold out, the Mountain West championship. I'm telling you, the SEC will be sold out. You might get 40, 50,000 people. Let's see, it's going to be in Charlotte. So, yeah, the ACC really isn't a draw. The Big Ten might not sell out. But, you know, maybe everybody wants to be like you have those folks in the South, particularly in the SEC, but not everybody is going to have that appeal.
Yeah. You know, one thing I would do right now if I was Boise State.
I mean, you're chomping at the bit to find out whether or not the SEC thing is going to be sold out.
It's not sold out as of yet. I can buy tickets right now.
Well, yeah, anybody can buy tickets, but it's sold out. I'm telling you, tomorrow night when the game is played, it will be sold out.
Okay. We will double check. But, yeah, what time do you want me to pick you up for it? Because there seems to be plenty of tickets available.
Well, how many tickets are available?
Man, look at that, though. 70. Right there, there's 1,800 tickets left in that area.
Oh, my gosh.
500 tickets left there.
This is like the worst segment ever. We're going over tickets.
I was looking. $70 for a ticket, though.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I've been to one of those, and it's pretty insane. But like I said, it's...
Holy cow, $35 for a parking pass?
Yeah.
Wow. Boise State fans, you got it good. I think they're only charging $10 to park at Bronco Stadium for this.
Or you just come over here, and it's $5.
Don't tell people that.
I'm surprised they haven't walled off the parking lot like they usually do.
Yeah. So.
But maybe it's back to my original point. College football outside the SEC. And even to concede your point to a degree, maybe it's all jumped the shark. We have too much of it.
Well, and
now,
I'll be.
A month from now, we're all going to be going crazy. Where's the football?
Where's the football? I don't want basketball. But I will say this as well. TV has kind of ruined it. High-def TV has kind of ruined it. Because let's be honest, and I did mention that watching some of these players in person, very different.
Are you saying that we're dishonest? That's why you have to say, let's be honest?
Yeah. Let's be honest with ourselves. High-def TV has kind of ruined it, because to sit there and to be able to look at every single blade of grass on your 55-inch TV, it's awfully nice, Kev.
It is. I mean, but I was never a big fan of going to the games anyway.
Because you had to be around people?
No, well, you know, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to do this. Uh-huh. You know, it's cold. You don't get, I mean, unless you're spending huge money, there are a lot of people that are saying, you know, it's good to go to the Bronco game because I don't, you know, I have to go, I can only afford general admission,
mm-hmm.
and now I can get some good seats
yeah.
to the game. I mean, it I kind of grew up, though, that you watched it on the games on TV just because they were always sold out. So
yeah, and again, games that aren't sold out, to me, I'm sorry, shouldn't be on TV.
Well, that does beg the question, and we will talk to the commissioner today, your friend, Mr. Thompson,
mm-hmm.
and we'll find out his thoughts on this and whether or not, you know, the big question is, I guess that investment in Boise State paid off, but is there an anti-Boise State bias permeating in the Mountain West?
Yeah, good question. By the way, what time is Mr. Thompson on?
8:40 today. Oh, quickly, though, how about McElwain? He's going to Florida.
Well, that's a whole nother half-hour topic.
We could have done that if you hadn't given us the seat count at
Alabama. Thank you. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County.